Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 25th day of February, year 2024. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Circle Your Wagons. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. And please take note that thousands of years later, we still use this Hebrew term, Hallelujah, and don't even realize that we're doing it. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast, Prinhanda, Cumri Ambeth, Yakida. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together, no spaces. Again, it's pastordan.net. And if I do not put out a notice for the upcoming broadcast, please go to the Listen Live page where you will see what is scheduled for Sunday or Wednesday. We should have a guest calling in this morning, and I'll be watching for that. So I'll go ahead with what I've got to tell you, and then hopefully this guest will be able to call in. The Daily Mail page on our website, PastorDan.net, that's where we put links for current events, information about prepping, even information about, weapons, ammunition, things like that, all kinds of information there. Richard Buckminster Fuller, you never change things by fighting the existing reality known as Mystery Babylon. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. Something I've learned, especially even as of this morning while I was watching an interview with Dr. McCullough and Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, how much is wrong in our world because we worship money? Okay? Now, when Scripture says, the love of money is the root of all evil, it's not kidding, okay? Even if somebody is a doubter that the Bible has any validity in this day and age, that one verse, okay? Even if you throw the rest of the Bible away, that one verse answers the question, why are we in such a terrible position today? Why is the entire world completely insane? That one verse. That's it. The love of money is the root of all evil. And for those of us that have lived through the absolute insanity of the last 5 years, know for a fact that the root of all of the stupidity, insanity, unbelievable things happening, people doing things that are completely abnormal and insane, what's at the root? Money. How did the Jews get us to do all this? Offer you money. I'll go back to when one of my children who used to work in Philadelphia asked some technicians that were installing new towers, new cell towers. And he went up and asked them, and he said, what you guys are putting in is dangerous and harmful for the people in the neighborhood and could even be a form of a weapon. And they looked up and said, yeah, you're right. This is some dangerous stuff. And so he asked them, then why in the hell are you doing it? Oh, we're getting paid. Okay? Right there, in a nutshell, is anecdotal evidence of what I'm talking about. Here's two technicians on a double-time day. It was a Sunday afternoon. installing equipment that they know is harmful and could be harmful even to themselves and their families, but they're comfortable doing it because they're getting paid. Now, that's one example, but I'm going to tell you, I worked in the United States Air Force for a time as a technician. I've also spent a career in nuclear power and also fossil fuel power plants. So the electrical companies I've worked for, many different corporations, I traveled quite a bit. And I'm going to tell you, in all those years, I saw that verse come to mind over and over and over. The root of all stupidity, the root of all insanity, the root of all greed, the root of all of the nefarious things that a man can do to his fellow man, the root of it all was money. The love of money. It was disgusting. Now, I understand you got families you want to feed, you want to put a roof over your family's head, etc. But you know what? How many years have we had systems compared to the number of years that man has walked this earth? It's a relatively short period of time. Man, when he was put upon this earth, didn't even have a money system. This world belongs to our Father, and he gave us dominion in this world. He didn't say, well, go down to the Jewish Federal Reserve and make sure you get some electronic shekels so that you can live the way I told you to. What is wrong with people today? We have a brain, but you know, a brain is like a muscle. What happens, guys, when you don't go to the gym anymore? You stop exercising your muscles. What happens to them? They do what we call atrophy. Okay, what's atrophy or atrophy? It's the shrinking or diminishing of a muscle or an organ or whatever. So atrophy sets in. Why? Because you don't use it. So your arms, your leg muscles, they start to shrink. What happens to your brain when you don't use it? It may not physically shrink, but its ability to work properly starts to diminish. Why do you think the Jew is so quick to make electronic devices cheaply and to make sure they get into your hands quickly and easily? Because, you know, as a technician, I used to tear radios and televisions apart. In fact, I took a LED television apart here about 2 months ago. It had broken, and I was curious of just what was inside. The level of miniaturization of the electronics in our devices even astounded me. In my lifetime, how they have miniaturized electronics. And my thought was always, how in the world do they use such sophistication in making these electronic devices? How in the world is it they can give them away so cheaply? Remember when computers first come out, I bought a Dell computer that was $3,600 in the 1990s. Let that sink in, okay? 1990s, I bought a Dell tower. State-of-the-art at the time, it was a 386 processor in it, $3,600. Today, you can get a decent laptop or a desktop refurbished for a few hundred bucks. And let me tell you something, these computers today are leaps, quantum leaps above what I paid $3,600 for. So my question was always, how are they doing this? Why are they making all these super sophisticated electronic devices? And next thing you know, they're giving them away, almost giving them away, dirt cheap. Why? Because they want everybody to have them. Why? Because the more electronic devices you have, the less you will use your brains. That's why everything has grammar checkers and spell checkers on it, because it's too hard. When I was a kid and a young man, if you wanted to find out how you spelled a word, you had to grab a dictionary off the shelf and look it up. That took time, took effort. Plus, you had to know the alphabet. You had to be able to look through alphabetical order of words. Most of these kids, they don't even know what alphabetic order means because it's so easy with an electronic device. They don't know how to do simple math in their heads or on a scratch piece of paper the way we used to do it when I was a young man. You had to grab a notebook and sit there and do it longhand. You didn't have a calculator. So the goal was always to diminish our ability to reason and to think. And so now, since we can no longer reason and think properly, money determines everything. During the interview with Dr. McCullough and Dr. Humphreys, she mentioned the fact of how few of her colleagues had integrity. Now, again, that's a word you're probably going to have to look up. Integrity. It means to do the right thing because it is the right thing. Money be damned. You do the right thing because it is the right thing. Does that make sense? I sure as hell hope anybody listening to this broadcast, it makes sense, because if it doesn't, you need to tune into somewhere else. You really do. And I'm going to tell you another thing. These broadcasts are reaching a lot of people. I don't know how they are. I have no idea how they are. But I just can tell you that they are. All right? Because those of us that come to this channel, those of us who walk with our Heavenly Father Yahweh, are starting to have an effect because the world is in such a dystopic state today. And that's another word you're probably going to have to look up. Dystopic. D-Y-S, dystopic, dystopic, all right? That's what we live in, a dystopic society. It's just insane, illogical, unreasonable, whatever adjective or term you want to use, it doesn't matter. Unbelievable, the things that are going on today, unbelievable things. Henry David Thoreau, another one, a short sentence. Does it say a lot? Hell yeah, it does. There are 1,000, talking about people, there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil. What are the branches of evil? People that do things for the love of money. There are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root. And again, where do we find out what's the root of our troubles, our evils, our woes? Right there in Scripture, one verse. The love of money is the root. There's your root. Who loves money more than anything on this earth? And I'm talking about the first people to do it. Jews. The people we call Jews today and their ancestors. They have lived for many generations with one mindset only, and that is the obtaining and control of money. Now, Dan, you sound like an anti-Semite. You got some kind of problem with Jews? No, actually I don't. They are the thorn that Yahweh put in our sides to pester us, to plague us because of our disobedience. The Jew has no power when you stop worshiping their goddamn money. Okay? They instantly have no power. So who's to blame ultimately, okay? We always point out the Jews are always there. Every time you look at some nefarious thing going on, you'll see the face of a frickin' Jew. Yep, George Soros, Rothschild, Rockefeller. The list is endless. They're everywhere, like a plague, like a cancer that metastasizes through a body. But they couldn't go anywhere if they didn't have victims that would literally sell their souls for an electronic shekel. Instantly lose all of their power. Why do congressmen do what they do, even to the detriment of our nation? For the love of money. Why do people turn on their bosses or turn on their spouses for the love of money? Why do children hate their parents? The love of money. It all boils down to the love of money. Why do children sit around, can't wait till the elders die so they can get their inheritance? For the love of money. Why do newscasters lie with impunity in front of a TV camera? For the love of money. Why do women marry and then divorce quickly? For the love of money. It goes on and on and on. And yet we don't learn. I shake my head every single day of my existence on this plane is an astonishment to me. What the hell has happened to people? The word integrity can't even be used anymore. Who in the hell do you apply it to? How about the word we found in the dictionary a few years back, rhadamanthine? To be strictly and uncompromisingly just. Well, let's see. Can't apply it to any county sheriffs that I know of. Can't apply it to anybody in government, state level, local level, federal level. Can't talk world leaders. No, doesn't apply to any of them. Sure as hell doesn't apply to the court system and the justice system. To be strictly and uncompromisingly just. Certainly doesn't apply to police officers and military men. Not the ones I've ever heard of, anyway. And praise Yahweh, there is a handful, there's a few, that it might apply to that I'm not aware of. But for the most part, no. For the most part, it doesn't. And so we look at this world. Again, as Isaiah chapter 5 says here, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Are we in that state? Yeah. Again, why? The love of money. It just goes on and on and on and on. Oh, geez, oh, Pete. I know you probably get tired. You probably get tired of me ranting and raving about these sorts of things. You know, I spent a lot of years, when this show first started, going through teaching. Most of that first, I'd say, 10 years was mostly teaching, putting E. Raymond Capt sermons up, or Bertrand Comparé, or Wesley Swift, and many of the other teachers of identity. It was mostly geared towards teaching, and then some about current events. But as we have devolved over the past 15 years, it has converted more to the rants about the deterioration of our world, because apparently the teaching wasn't having much of an effect. I mean, we can teach about Scripture endlessly, but if it doesn't have an effect, what good is it? All right? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So we were trying to help out with the hearing of the word, the hearing of the truth of this world, hoping that in turn it would create action. And as we watch the world sinking further into the abyss, you got to wonder, what happened? What happened? Why is there no rebellion? See, that's the one thing. You know, it was just a few hundred years ago that our founding fathers rose up and basically went to war. And they didn't necessarily go to war for independence right away. They went to war in protest of taxation. Oh, yeah, you people out here that are taxed to death, your ancestors went to war for probably one-tenth of the amount of tax that you're paying. One-tenth! And they said, enough of this bullshit. And they were willing to get up and do something about it. And yet today, we are 10 times, maybe even 20 times more taxed. And we just roll over and, well, do it to me again. I'll bend over and pull my shorts down. Do it to me again. Yep. Over. Why? Oh, well, you know, you don't want to get involved. You don't want to be called a bad name. But, you know, they can send the IRS after you, or they can send the local sheriff after you. Again, more public servants who do the will of our Antichrist leaders to their neighbors for the love of money. Well, when I've talked to military and law enforcement people over the years, and they give you the same pitiful answer that everybody else does. Well, you know, I've got a retirement I'm building up, and I've got to put a roof over my kid's head, and I got to send them to college, and I need to put food on the table, Dan. Yeah, but what you're doing is wrong. Well, yeah, but I've got to protect that. Okay, so, and again, the same mentality just happened when a bunch of cretins and miscreants get on television very similar to a Anthony Fauci, who is the epitome of despicable. They get on television and tell you put a foreign substance, untested foreign substance, in your body because we tell you it's good for you. Now think about this for a minute. Untested. How can somebody say something is okay to put in your body? Untested. And yet the lemmings didn't pay any attention. They went ahead and slammed it into their veins and didn't give it a second thought because they were told to do so by the authorities. You know, Romans 13, Dan, we're supposed to obey the authorities. Yeah, Romans 13, many times. And we've talked about it. In fact, I got a book on my shelf by a leading pastor that's entirely devoted to the correct translation of that one section of the Bible. Romans 13. But very simply put, Romans 13 only applies to godly authorities. But you'd have to read your Bible to know that, and most people don't. They just go sit in the pew and let some pusillanimous piece of dog meat behind the pulpit tell them what's in it because they're too busy. Just like the mandates, right? Each state put out a mandate about mask wearing and all this other garbage, all right? Did anybody read them? And Jennifer, no, she has not called in. Did anybody read the mandates? Okay, because I was in Virginia when all this bullshit first started. I was helping my brother and his wife get their house ready to sell and get their totally degenerate daughter out of the house. And I looked at the mandate in Virginia and I said, did you guys read this? Because we saw people running around with masks on their face and all this other bullshit. And I looked at the mandate and I said, do you see the exceptions to this mandate down here at the bottom? I said, there's all kind of exceptions. I went around without a mask the whole time I was in Virginia. Not once did anybody stop me. Not once. I had it all prepared. I had a whole list of things I was going to say. I didn't have to. Nobody even questioned me. It was unbelievable. I said, right here in the mandates. Then I went to Florida, and I stopped in Georgia, and same thing, read the mandates. All kind of exceptions in there. Nobody bothered to use them. And it got me thinking, has the white race reached the point where we don't deserve to survive? Are we Caucasians that are here today, are we the last of the Mohicans? You have to ask yourself that. Once we're gone, who's going to take over? Once we, as pitiful as we are, once we're gone, what is going to take our place? to represent sanity, to represent integrity, to represent the work ethic that we grew up with, to represent knowledge, truth, practicality. Who amongst these zombies that walk out here on the street, who amongst them is going to pick up the mantle and carry on? Are we the last of the Mohicans? From where I'm sitting, we're in a position where that is absolutely true. Now, the good news is, according to Scripture, if these are in fact the Scriptures, if in fact they have been properly translated, Yahshua said that he would come lest no flesh be saved. What flesh do you think he cares about saving, since he is Yahweh in a flesh body? His sons and daughters, those who obey him. So, for the sake of that tiny remnant, as Yahshua said in the book of Luke, my flock is a tiny flock, we are the tiny flock of Mohicans that might actually somehow get through this mess. The only reason that we will get through it, though, is because of obedience to our Father and our Father's Holy Spirit. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit told me that Anthony Fauci was a piece of dog meat the very first time I heard him speak. And I often wondered, if the Holy Spirit told me that everything coming out of that piece of shit's mouth was a lie, then why are so many people following it? Is the Holy Spirit not talking to most of these people? Is the Holy Spirit only in a very tiny remnant already? Well, here we are, 4 years, 4.5 years later. It's starting to look that way. Is it not? And Jennifer, if Laura is going to call in, you need to get a hold of her and tell her to call in, because she has not done so. Now, the reason that we wanted Laura to call in is because Laura has something happening within 2 miles of her home that you and I need to be aware of, and part of the reason for my message being entitled Circle Your Wagons. We're under a full-scale invasion. Now, in her case, the local sheriff is upset. The county sheriff is upset because he knows what they're doing is wrong, and yet he doesn't believe he has the power to do anything because the county commissioners have authorized it. Let me ask a question here. Maybe it's just me, but why does a county sheriff question whether they have the authority to stop an invasion? Does somebody want to fill me in on that? Because I'm confused. Why does a county sheriff need to ask anybody, since he is the highest elected? Now, notice what I just said, okay? Because I know attention spans and vocabularies are not very good today. He is the highest elected official at the county level. Let that sink in now. At the county level, he has the most power. To do what? To prevent crime. Now, the last time I checked, maybe things are different today, but the last time I checked, treason is a crime. So does a county sheriff need anybody's approval to stop treason, even if it's a bunch of county commissioners? Answer to that question, in case you're confused, is no, he does not. Okay, well, wait a minute. He only has a few deputies down at the office there, so how's he going to do this? Oh, well, let me tell you how he's going to do this. He's going to go out and do what the sheriffs in the old days did frequently. He's going to deputize the men of his county, the good men, the righteous men. And they will get their own weapons and their own ammunition, and they will go with the sheriff to stop the crime. How much simpler does it have to be? Okay, I just laid it out for you.
Hey, Dan, I don't know. What are we going to do? We're being invaded. They're criminals. They're raping. They're robbing. They got diseases and blah, 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 blah. Oh, what are we going to do?
Jesus, criminy. What are you going to do? Get the county sheriff off his ass, and I hope it's a man, because every one of them should be a man. Get the county sheriff off his ass, remind him that he is the highest official at the county level, and he has the authority to deputize as many men as he feels he needs to get the job done. You have treason at the county level. Treason! And let me assure you that treason is a crime. Not only is what these county commissioners doing an act of treason, it is a violation of their oath of office. Now, that brings up another interesting point. If an elected official violates their oath of office, are they truly an elected official any longer? Answer, no, they are not. They are criminals acting under the color of law, acting as if they still have authority when they do not. Therefore, they are yet again a criminal, so that the sheriff and his posse or militia have every right and authority to arrest whoever is complicit in helping this treason. And that includes local vendors putting up tents or housing invaders. They are guilty of treason. They are complicit. They are collaborators with criminals, guilty by association. But why did they do it? Oh, because we're being paid. Yes, it's an invading army, Dan, but I got paid really well because the local Jewish commissioner came down and gave me a whole bag full of shekels. How did it work out for the damn Jew that betrayed Christ? Have you read that in your book lately? You know, that guy named Judas Iscariot, meaning a man from Cariot, the suburb of Jerusalem that was predominantly Jewish. Iscariot, that's Hebrew for man of that area. So Judas, this Jew, betrayed Christ for a bag full of shekels from his fellow Jews. How did it work out for that bastard? Last time I checked, it didn't work out real well. So you want to emulate Jews who betrayed Christ for a bag of shekels. You want to emulate that by doing the exact same thing. Doing things that are harmful to you, your family, and your country for a bag of electronic shekels. At least Judas had enough integrity that he wanted actual silver coin that he could carry with him and had value. You're doing it for electronic shekels that have no value other than the electron controlled by other Jews. Are we insane? Yeah, we are. Yep. The white race is insane today. Absolutely 100% clinically insane. Not to mention cowards. What does Scripture say happens to cowards? They don't come into the kingdom, do they? So that leaves a bunch of them out. Let's see. What about liars? Do liars make it into the... No. They don't get to come in either. What about gossipers? No, they don't either. How about rapists and murderers? No, they don't get to come in either. How about blasphemers? No, it doesn't look too good for them either. That just described the vast majority of white people today. How about race mixers? Do they get to come in? No. No, you're creating monsters. This world is full of monsters, by the way. A good book, if you... Oh, wait a minute, that's right. Nobody reads anymore. But anyway, if you did read, there's a good little book I got on my shelf here called Anthology of Racial Issues by Charles Weissman. And in that book is all of the scientific evidence you need to know that what the Bible says is true. Race mixing is an abomination. Okay, yeah, that's right. You got to go get your dictionary, and maybe you got to type it into your electronic dictionary and hope that it gives you the right answer. But an abomination is really, really bad. When Scripture calls something an abomination, it's not just bad, it's really bad, very bad. And race mixing falls into that category. Why? Because you have now created the plague. Oh, yeah, have you heard that in Scripture before, the plague? You know, like in the days of Phinehas the priest? Oh, you didn't read that part yet. Okay, it's in the Old Testament. That's right. You're a New Testament Christian. Oh, forgive me. That's right. Forget that Old Testament stuff. But if you did read it, you'd find out why Phinehas was blessed in perpetuity, meaning forever, because he put a spear down through a prince of Jacob Israel and the whore that he was having his delight with, who was not of our race, and he put a spear down between the two of them. And Yahweh God said he was blessed forever, him and his posterity. Okay, but the modern day church world, the New Testament, tell you that, oh, that's violent, Dan. That's such a violent thing to say. Yeah, my daughter's married to a black guy. I just love her and my little half-breed children. Oh, yeah, they're so cute. Really? Let me know how that works out for you when you stand in front of that throne and the person that put it in the Scripture that says this is an abomination. Let me know how that works out when you describe how cute the little monsters are that you've created. Because those little monsters grow up to be adult monsters. And you want to know what's causing all the trouble on your streets today? The vast majority of violent criminals are half-breeds. Oh, Dan, how can you say that? Well, because I've gone to the websites and looked up the most violent, most wanted violent criminals at the state level, and virtually every one of them, the vast majority, are mixed breed. You can tell by their mugshots. Oh, but Dan, you just sound racist. You sound anti-this or anti-that. Yeah, I'm anti-breaking God's law. Because I live in this world, and you're turning it into a toilet. So now I have to live in a cesspool. My family has to live in a cesspool. My grandchildren live in a cesspool. The people I care about live in a cesspool because you don't have the integrity to enforce God's law. Just like that sheriff thinking that he's got to obey the county commissioners when they're committing an act of treason. At the national level, we have to obey what they say out of Washington, D.C. when they're committing treason. State governors committing treason. Groups of armed men should drag them out of their homes, put them on trial, and when found guilty, hang them on the spot. That's how you deal with treason. Oh, but Dan, that sounds violent. That sounds, oh, geez, that's taking the law into your own hands. Well, when nobody else is doing it, you have to take it into your own hands, don't you? Or else explain to me how it happens. That's it. I'm here. I'm waiting. I don't censor anybody. Call in and tell me, where am I wrong? What is wrong with this picture? Why is it so difficult for people to understand? If your elected officials are not doing what you elected them to do, then why in the hell are they still your officials? Why have you not at least fired them and possibly arrested them and put them on trial for dereliction of duty, misprism of office, or outright treason? Okay, take your pick. Instead, you walk around like they have authority. So somebody pointed out to me in Scripture where it says that I am to give my worship, my reverence, my obedience to anybody wearing shoe leather over my Creator. Where does it say to do that? In your New or Old Testament? Where does it say to give a man authority over my Creator? It's funny, it's in the New Testament what Peter said. If it's a choice between obeying man or God, you must obey Yahweh God. Now, that's in the New Testament for all you New Testament Christians. You love everybody, people. I just love everybody. I don't care what they're doing because, you know, my Jesus, he was a hippie running around with long hair and sandals, and he just loved everybody. Send them all over to me. I just love everybody. Come here. Come here, you mixed multitude and you race mixed people. Come here. I just love you. I love you to death. Come here. Come here. Is that Yahshua? Is that the Yahshua of Scripture? No, not even close. But it's the one you've created. You've created a God. You've created an image of a God, and you worship it. The image is created by the false church, the mainstream churches of today, and certainly the Roman Catholic whore of whores. And you follow right along with their makeshift, made-up idols. I still wonder why in the world has our Father not pushed the big button? Why is Yahweh sitting there allowing us to be this lazy, this stupid, and not hit the big reject button and flush us right down the toilet? I marvel at that. I truly do. I truly do. People think I'm just saying, no, I actually do. Why? When my head hits the pillow at night, that's often my question. Why? Father Yahweh, why do you tolerate us? When we allow this world to become this sick before we'll get off our ass and do anything to fix it, why do you tolerate us? He'll be here soon to answer that question. I think most of the people here know that. Time is running out very, very quickly. And when he gets here, it's not going to be pleasant for those who have disobeyed him. This world is an absolute mess. And again, why? Because money is everything to most people. The beginning and the end of every argument, every desire, every deed that they do wraps around money. And it was not that long ago when I was a child in Sunday school or amongst my elders that we were often told you do the right thing because it is the right thing. What happened? What happened is in the 1960s, the Jews came to power. They had power surreptitiously before that, behind closed doors. But starting in the 1960s, they rose to where they no longer had to hide. They didn't have to hide their names by being name changers anymore. They totally dismantled our immigration policy, and yet nobody did a damn thing about it. They destroyed our financial system. Nobody did a damn thing about it. In the 1960s, with all this power and all this money, they then put money into technology because they knew that was the way to get to us. You see, it takes a lot of money to develop all of this, quote, high tech. It takes a lot of sheep willing to spend lots of hours in research and development. And why did they do it? Because somebody paid them. The hook-nosed Jew sitting over there with a bag of shekels, all he had to do was wave a few dollars in front of our engineers, technicians, scientists, developers, and they would do whatever the Jew said, even if it was to develop something that will eventually enslave mankind. That's how pathetic we are. Because once again, what's keeping Mystery Babylon afloat? The worship of the Jew and his money. Simple as that. Turn your back on the living God and worship the God of this world, the Jew and his electronic shekels. That's all. That's all you have to do. It's an amazing thing to have sit here, to be given the privilege that I've had to observe what has been going on in this world and to have a large number of people who do have integrity that feed me information, who give me advice, who interpret things happening in their areas and what's going on in this world and feed it back to me. So it's not just me. I've been given the privilege to sit here and tell you about it, but none of this is just me. I am sitting here as the collective nexus of information and opinions and desires of a host of people all over this earth. That has been my privilege. And trust me, I thank the Father for that every single day, because I sure as hell don't deserve it. But he chose me, just as he chose you, and he chooses whom he will save. And praise Yahweh that he allowed me to be there to see this, that he allowed me to have a voice in this sick and demented world. And I pray he comes soon. I really do. I pray he comes soon and put an end to this and put an end to all of the bickering and fighting and gossiping and backstabbing that our people do to each other, even within identity. Which I find hard to believe. How can you believe in the identity message and still be one of those? Gossiper, backstabber. Be condescending to your brother or sister over ideology or dogma. At this point, with all the lies and deceptions that we've uncovered, you're going to hang on to some part of dogma? Based on what? Okay, virtually everything you've been told from the time you were a child is a complete fabrication, whether it's history, geography, the universe, all of it, lies. And yet you'll break fellowship with one another over what? And this happens to almost everybody. At some time or another, I've seen it, even amongst the folks I know really well. I just shake my head every time I hear it. Get that knife out of your brother or sister's back, would you? We're part of a family. We're part of a shrinking family. We're part of a last of the Mohicans on this earth that have a clue as to what the hell is going on. And I will even say it at this point, you don't have a right to break fellowship at this point. Because our fellowship is our strength. Our networking together is a strength and a defense against what the wicked are doing. Why in the hell would you jeopardize that? Especially over something that could be completely wrong. When the truth all is revealed, as it will be, soon. Why would you jeopardize that? I'm just asking. I'm a simple kid from down on the farm, just asking questions. Why? In Revelation chapter 11, verse 18, we read, "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints," meaning the called out ones, "and them that fear or reverence your name, both great and small, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." Now that's the King James. The Bible in basic English has it this way. "And the nations were angry, and your wrath has come, in the time for the dead to be judged, in the time of reward for your servants, the prophets, and for the saints, and for those in whom is the fear or reverence of your name, small and great, and the time of destruction for those who made the earth unclean." Destruction for those who destroy the earth or make it unclean, meaning unfit for what? Consumption. What is unclean food? Food that you are not to take into your body. What is in the earth that's unclean today? Almost all of your air, water, and so-called soil that they're growing these corporate products on is contaminated, therefore unclean. You're not to put anything unclean in your tabernacle, your temple, your body. Remember, guard what goes in the ears, meaning what you hear, because unclean things can contaminate your thinking. The same thing with your eyes. Be careful what you see, what you watch, what you stare at. Do not allow the unclean into your temple. And certainly your mouth. Both what goes in and what comes out. Guard it carefully. So the time of destruction for those who made the earth unclean or destroyed the earth, we're close to that, folks. We're very close to that. That's under the section of the seventh trumpet. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. The great day of the Lord, starting with Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. "For see, the day is coming. It is burning like an oven. All the men of pride and all who do evil will be dry stems of grass." It's also called stubble. "And in the day which is coming, they will be burned up," says Yahweh of armies, "till they have not a root or a branch." What is that saying in scriptural terms? When it says you have neither root nor branch, it means your family, you, your line, your bloodline is annihilated. Pretty serious stuff. "But to you, who give worship to my name, the sun," meaning Helios above us, "the sun of righteousness will come up with new life in its wings, and you will go out playing like young oxen full of food," meaning satisfied. They've just nursed with their mother. And I grew up on a farm, and the young cows or oxen, they do bounce around quite a bit right after they've been fed. "And the evildoers will be crushed under you. They will be dust under your feet. In the day when I do my work, says the Lord of armies." Keep in mind the law of Moses, my servant, which I gave him in Oreb, for all of Jacob Israel, meaning you folks, even the rules and decisions, see, I am sending you Elijah the prophet before the day of the Lord comes, that great day, greatly to be feared. And by him the hearts of fathers will be turned to their children, meaning your posterity. And it also says in the Septuagint, the hearts of the brethren to one another. Now, your translation typically says the hearts of the children to their fathers. That's not what it says in the Septuagint. It says the hearts of the men, the brethren, to each other. We men, we warriors, should have our hearts turned to each other. We should come back together as family, as friends, as co-combatants in this war, for fear that I may come and put the earth under a curse. Now, that's part of that last verse, meaning if you do not turn your hearts, men, to your posterity, what you're leaving in this, on this sick world, and the hearts of men towards each other, if you are not willing to do that, I may come and put the earth under a curse. Are we cursed? According to Deuteronomy chapter 28, we are. We are definitely cursed. We're going to have an open mic session, so don't go away, folks, if you have any comments or questions at the end here. Also, Jennifer, I never heard from either Laura or the gentleman, so if they want, we can have a special broadcast anytime, or we can have that discussion Wednesday night during our open mic night. So with that said, though, we're going to close this officially in prayer, and then we'll have our open mic. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We know that the hour is late. We know that this world is in travail, as it says in Scripture, waiting for the sons of the Most High to be manifested, waiting for that Ezekiel 37 host to rise up out of the valley of dead and dry bones. The spiritually dead and dry man of our race. Let them become men again, Father. Let them become warriors again. Let them put away the spirit of fear and take on the spirit of joy and confidence in you and in themselves, that if we do the right thing simply because it is the right thing, you will bless it, irregardless of money. Burn that into holes in our psyche, Father Yahweh, so much so that that army, that righteous, vast, and mighty army rises up to put an end to the insanity we see today. In the meantime, we ask for forgiveness for our shortcomings, our stumblings. Be with us and guide us in all that we say and do for thy kingdom and for your mercies. We ask and pray in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.